Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on the Tuesday broadcast. And I want to begin this broadcast by letting you know about a few events that are happening at Hickory Ridge Community Church. And our broadcast is covered here in the greater Hampton Roads area, so our church is not too far from you. But let me tell you about two things that are coming up here just in the next couple weeks that you can take advantage of if you are interested, okay? The first is going to happen on February the 13th. Now, you know, February 14th, that's Valentine's Day. And guys, this year, Valentine's Day is on a Sunday. But on Saturday the 13th of February, we are doing a daddy-daughter date night. So guys, get your daughter ready. Bring her down to Hickory Ridge Community Church. Now, you've got to register so that we'll be ready for you. If you go to our church webpage, it's hrcc7.org. Click on events, and you're going to see the daddy-daughter date night, February the 13th. And then you just click on there to register, and you can go ahead and register you and your daughter or daughters if you have more than one daughter. If you have somebody that's a niece that you'd like to adopt for the night and bring her, that'd be great. We would love to have you come on February the 13th. Now, there's another event that is happening the weekend after that, and this is an event for all of Hampton Roads, and we are doing a weekend marriage conference. Now, as you listen to the broadcast today, many of you are probably familiar with the Weekend to Remember events. It's always a big event that is done on Valentine's weekend here in the Hampton Roads area. Now, this year, unfortunately, because of the coronavirus, they've had to cancel the big event that they usually have in downtown Norfolk. And so they've asked several churches in our community to do smaller venues. And so we're going to be doing that smaller venue, and we're doing an event called Vertical Marriage, and that is going to be on the weekend of Friday night, February the 19th, into Saturday morning, February the 20th. And you can also go onto our webpage, and you can register for that, and there is a small cost for that. I think it's $35. That will cover your registration, your book, the food, and the meal that we're going to be providing for you. And so please take advantage of that Friday night the 19th into Saturday the 20th. And we'd love to have you come for that weekend. I promise you have a great time. We'll make you feel right at home at Hickory Ridge Community Church. The website again, hrcc7.org. And by the way, if you're interested in watching our services on Sunday, you can also go to our webpage and watch online. We do Facebook Live. And so we'd love to see you tune in with our 10:30 service on Sunday morning. If you'd like to come see us live, drive-in church is at 9 o'clock. You don't have to get out of your car. It's probably the most COVID-friendly worship service that we do every Sunday morning at 9. And then 10:30, come on inside. And at 10:30, we also have our children's ministry. We have the nursery and the preschool. And we have a student Sunday school class at the 10:30 hour. I'd love to see you on Sunday, okay? Well, we have been going through, and I didn't quite finish up yesterday when I started with Jonah in Grace for the Disgraced. And so I want you to know something very important, okay? Jonah trusted the Lord, and he finally got on the right track. But even in the midst of his running, Jonah was a guy that was going in the opposite direction. But even in the midst of that, God was showing him grace. Isn't it amazing how God gives us grace in spite of what is going on in our lives? God is so gracious to us. Even when we are running to Him, He gives us grace. Even when He knows that we're going to reject His message, He gives us grace. We began by looking at Jonah chapter 1, and it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, "Go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." God was speaking to Jonah, knowing Jonah was going to reject the message, but God gave it to him anyway. You know, every time God speaks to us, He speaks to us with grace. We learned, secondly, that God also gave grace to Jonah when he was running. You know, Jonah heard the message, he understood the message, and he ran away from the Lord. Verse number 3 says that he ran from the Lord and he headed to Tarshish. He went in the opposite direction. But even in the middle of that, God is giving him grace. He's given that ability to run. He's given him the ability to pay the fare, giving him the ability to flee from the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? The energy it takes to run from God is actually a gift from God. The oxygen that is within your lungs is a gift from God. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Then we learned thirdly yesterday that God not only speaks grace, he not only gives grace to those who are running from him, even in storms, we discover that God displays his grace. It says in verse number 4 that the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. And it was a violent storm that arose, and it threatened the ship to break it up. Then all the sailors were afraid, and they all cried out to their own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten up the ship. Now listen, we see God's grace even in the storm. We see these seasoned sailors throwing their livelihood overboard because they are so filled with fear. But God is being gracious to them. Now, I don't think we often look at a storm as being gracious. We learned last broadcast that God gives us storms for three reasons. One is to perfect us. That is to conform us to his image, to develop us, to make us more mature. Another is to protect us, and we used that protecting storm where the disciples went into the Sea of Galilee to be protected from the crowd that was coming up against them. And then we learned that God sometimes uses storms in our lives to correct us. That's that storms that comes because of the natural consequences. And maybe at the beginning of this year, you were going through a hard time financially, where you spent so much money for Christmas and so much money buying gifts and buying things that you couldn't afford. Now the credit card bills are starting to come in. Well, some of that is called the law of sowing and reaping. You may be experiencing a financial storm because you haven't been a good steward. Well, I want you to know God will be gracious to you in the middle of that, and God will sometimes allow that storm to awaken you so that you make some changes in your spending habits. Well, here's the fourth way that God shows himself grace to Jonah. He gives Jonah sleep. We discover that the storm is raging, but Jonah goes below deck, and he has fallen into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Now, as we think about being able to sleep in the middle of the storm, sometimes we wear ourselves out running from God, and we just fall asleep. We have worn ourselves out. But even that is a gift that God gives to us. Oh, I want to encourage you today, as you think about those who are running from God, maybe you look at them and say, well, how can they be at rest? How can they be at peace when they're so far from God? I want you to know, if you are looking at the book of Jonah and hoping that judgment will fall on the Ninevites, and you're kind of feeling like Jonah did, God dealt with the Ninevites 140 years after they repented in a small little book called Nahum. We discover that the Ninevites decided no longer to serve the Lord. God was gracious to them, spares them, but within 140 years, they go right back to their old lifestyle. I think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of my favorite prophets in the Old Testament. Jeremiah was a prophet who preached his entire ministry with no converts, and that's why he's called the weeping prophet. And he ends up writing the book of Jeremiah, and at the end of the book of Jeremiah, he concludes by saying this, "Now it shall be," Jeremiah 51, verses 63 and 64, he says, "Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates. They shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus are the words of Jeremiah." What is Jeremiah saying? Jeremiah is saying, I have proclaimed the word of God. I have begged with you and I have pleaded with you to repent. I have given you the word of God over and over and over again. You have rejected it over and over again. And now I want you to know that there's going to be a catastrophe that's going to come upon you. And he uses some really unusual word pictures here. And he says, when you are finished reading this book, and he gets a picture in his mind of a stone tied around the word, and it's taken and it's thrown out into the Euphrates, and the word is going to wear them down, but the word is going to bring catastrophe upon them. So here's my encouragement to you today. What do I need to wake up about in 2021? What area of complacency is there in my life? What area am I asleep in my life that I need to waken up in this new year? You know, complacency is actually habit forming. Maybe you're in a habit of complaining. That is because you'd rather complain about something than do something to correct the problem. It's easier to complain about something than it is to fix something. It is easy to be very complacent in our lives today. But I would encourage you in this new year, wake up. God has a mission for you. God wants to share his grace with you today. Well, here's the fifth area of grace that Jonah experienced. And we see that in that thirst and that desire for truth. Even that thirst to know God is a gift of grace from God. Well, let's look at verses 7 and 8. It said that the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots out and find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Now, there was trouble in that ship, no doubt. And what was the cause of that trouble on that ship was one of its passengers, Jonah. Jonah had this storm in him, that storm of running from God. You know, we think about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you know, that desire to be free from the power of sin and its consequences, to hunger and thirst, these are natural expressions of the basic human desire. You know, one of the ways that you know you're not feeling well physically is that you lose your appetite. One of the ways that you know you're not spiritually healthy is that you lose your spiritual appetite. We see these sailors had no appetite for spiritual things until calamity came upon them. They are casting lots, trying to figure out why in the world this terrible thing is happening to them, and they're wanting some answers. You know, Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." In other words, blessed are those who are striving after the truth of righteousness, for they will be filled. You see, you're never going to get filled and have that hunger filled until you stop denying things. It's only through the truth that you start to get on the right track. We have a ministry in our church called Celebrate Recovery, and we just began a new year and a new beginning to celebrate recovery. And lesson number one that we talked about Sunday night, and by the way, we'd love to have you join us in Celebrate Recovery every Sunday night at Hickory Ridge Community Church at 6 p.m., but we looked at denial on Sunday night. What do you need to stop denying in this new year? Maybe you need to stop denying that you have it all together. Maybe as you're looking at your life, says, "You know what? I have been Mr. Pretend Man long enough. I don't have it all together. I need to finally come clean with that, and I need to acknowledge the fact that I am really lacking. And instead of coming up with these excuses, I need to go ahead and I need to stop denying that, and I need to confess it so that I can turn from it." You see, even in the midst of storms, God can create this thirst within us to know him. Well, here's the sixth thing that we see in this amazing story of Jonah and God being gracious to Jonah, and that is even creation proves the grace of God. We look at verse number 9, chapter number 1 of Jonah. He answers them. Remember, they gave him this series of questions. Who are you? Why are you here? What have you done? And he says, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running from the Lord because he already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up," he said. "Throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." You know, God's creation reveals his grace. When you look at the beauty of God's creation, you realize this, how gracious he is. He gives us oxygen to breathe. He gives us food to eat. He gives us beauty to enjoy. He gives us financial resources so that we can buy homes and vehicles and buy things to make life much more comfortable for us. But every once in a while, God allows us to go through a time of losing comfort so that he can get our attention. That is what is happening here. God is using creation to cause a storm to get their attention. God does the same thing to us. You know, Tim Keller tells a story about an old fairy tale about a wicked witch who lived in a remote village in a deep forest. When travelers came through looking for lodging, she offered them a meal and a bed. It was the most wonderfully comfortable bed any of them have ever felt. But it was a bed full of deep magic. And if you were asleep in that bed when the sun came up, you would turn to stone. You'd become a figure in the witch's statuary, trapped until the end of time. The witch forced a young girl to serve her, and though she had no power to resist the witch, the girl became more and more filled with pity for the victims of the witch's evil plots. One day, a young man looking for a bed and a board was taken in. The servant girl could not bear to see him turned into stone, so she threw sticks and thistles and stones into his bed and made that bed horribly uncomfortable. Every time he turned, he would feel a new painful object under him. Though he cast each one out, there was always a new one to dig into his flesh. He slept only fitfully, and he rose feeling weary and worn. He arose way before dawn, and as he walked out the front door, the servant girl met him and berated her cruelly and says, "How in the world could you give a traveler such a terrible bed filled with sticks and stones?" He cried all the way out the door. "Ah," she said under her breath, "the misery you know now is nothing like the infinitely greater misery a comfortable sleep would have brought upon you. Those were my sticks and my stones of love. Listen, when sin wears us down and wearies our soul, God puts sticks and stones of love into our beds to wake us up, to bring us to the point where we rely on Him, lest at the end of our lives we are overtaken by sin and turned into stone." Well, here's my question to you today. What do I need to throw overboard in this new year? What is God allowing me to go through that are sticks and stones of His love to grab my attention and to wake me up? Maybe in this new year, God says, you need to stop worrying. You need to stop being filled with anxiety. You need to stop being a control freak. I've got everything under control. You know, God was running the universe way before you came along, and He'll be running it way after the time you leave. He is in control. Let not your heart be troubled. God has got it. We are told not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Well, there's one final area that we see God's grace at work in the life of Jonah. We've seen so far that God uses His grace as He speaks to us. He gives us grace, even though we don't deserve it. He gives us grace in the midst of storms. He gives us grace in that sometimes He lets us sleep in the middle of a storm. He gives us grace in that He gives us this desire, this thirst to know Him. We see His grace in His creation. And lastly, we see His grace in His protection. Verse number 17, it says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Now, don't you love this? As they threw Jonah overboard, I'm sure they felt like, man, we have just taken the life of a man. I'm sure Jonah says, this is the end for me. But God, in His protection, provides a huge fish. We say that Jonah went to Whale University, and he got a PhD in suffering. He got a PhD in understanding who God is, and he graduated as that fish spit him out on the ground, and he made up for last time. You think about all that God has done for us. One of my favorite verses in the story of Jonah is Jonah 2:9. And it says this, "Salvation is of the Lord." God's grace is of the Lord. God's salvation is of the Lord. Some years ago, Philip Yancey wrote a bestseller called What's So Amazing About Grace? In his particular book, he says that grace is the last great word. He meant that it's one of the last great words that has retained some of its original meaning. Free, unmerited, undeserved. For instance, when we pray, we say grace. To thank God for food. we are grateful for a kindness done by another person. To show our thanks, we offer a gratuity. Something offered at no cost is called something that is given in gratis. And when we are having books in the library that are overdue, we may return them at no charge during a time of grace period. Oh, and when you get that credit card statement in the mail or you get it online, you have a grace period to pay that bill. It is common that Christianity, and it is known that Christianity is supremely a religion or a faith of grace. And that is true. We sing about grace and we write poems about grace. We name our churches and our children after grace. If you ask us, we certainly believe in grace. But outside of our worship services, the word seems like it's rarely on our lips. Yancey goes on to point out that part of the problem is the nature of grace itself. Grace is hard to accept. It's hard to believe. It's hard to receive. We all have a certain skepticism about a telemarketer that will call us and say, "I'm not trying to sell you anything. I just want to offer you a free trip to Hawaii." Automatically, you wonder, what's the catch? Why? Because we have been taught that there's no such thing as a free lunch. Listen, I know grace is so hard to accept. It's hard to believe, and it's hard to receive. Why? Because grace shocks us in what it offers. It is truly not of this world. It frightens Jonah, knowing God was going to let people he hated off the hook. Grace teaches us that God does for others what we would never do for them. We would save maybe the not so bad. God starts with the prostitutes and then he works down from there. You see, grace is a gift that costs everything to the giver and absolutely nothing to the receiver. It is given to those who don't deserve it, those who barely recognize it, and those who hardly appreciate it. As I was pondering this, a thought hit me very powerfully. One of the reasons that grace is so hard for us is because God is much more gracious than I am. You know how I know that? I know that God is much more gracious than I am because he saves people that I wouldn't save if I were God. He blesses people that I wouldn't bless if I were God. He uses people in his service that I wouldn't use if I were God. Grace is God's unmerited favor. When you think about grace, it's something that changes your life radically. You see, we don't change because of the breaking of the law. We may have remorse because we broke the law. We may be saddened because there are consequences with breaking the law. But keeping the law doesn't allow us to experience God's grace. When we think about God's grace, it has appeared to all. And it offers salvation to all people. My wife and I, when we were dating, we had a long-distance relationship. And I was serving as a youth pastor up in New England, and she was here going to Old Dominion University. And I remember we would communicate with each other. And back then, back in the late 80s, we thought we had a great deal on telephone rates. You didn't have cell phones back then. And so we had a landline, and we thought we had a great deal because we'd find that we could get telephone calls for 25 cents a minute. Now, that is outrageous when you think about it. And there were many months where I would have a $400 or $500 phone bill just from calling my wife and spending hours on the phone with her. You had 25 cents a minute. It doesn't take too long to add up that phone bill at the end of the month. But I remember my wife would often send me notes. There were notes that were filled with grace. There were notes as I opened them up and they'd have the smell of perfume on them. And I would read those letters over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, I read them so often that I had memorized most of them. I didn't intend to really memorize them. I was just so much in love with the person that was writing them that I just happened to remember what she said to me. I think that's what God's Word is all about. If you are falling in love with Christ, you are falling in love with his word. You can't get enough of it. You keep reading it over and over again, and as you read it over and over again, you discover that you start to remember everything that was written within it. You see, if we try to get out there and discipline ourselves into memorizing God's word, we're never going to do it. Fall in love with the author and you'll discover that you can remember what the author has to say. Realize that he has a message of grace for you. Even in the midst of your times of running, he still has a message for you. Just like he did for the prodigal son, he has a message for you and he has a message for me. So as we close out our broadcast today, I want to encourage you to be filled with grace. You know, grace is given to those who least deserve it because grace cannot be earned. If you could earn grace, it wouldn't be grace. It'd be a paycheck. It'd be a wage. Grace is given to those who don't deserve it. Well, God bless you today. I pray today your day is grace-filled.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.